All right, you're back in the DFSR. We're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Friday, August 19th. I am Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we are here to talk a little Friday baseball action for FanDuel and DraftKings. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. And we're here to help you get started on FanDuel and DraftKings, Major League Baseball, NFL coming really soon. You can grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab that helps you calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. And we think we are very, very close to releasing football, possibly even today.
Baby.
Yeah, so it's been a long time coming. I know the users have been dying to get their hands on some NFL projections and start running queries and optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. And we're really hoping it comes out today at the latest in the next day or two. But I really don't think we're going to have that much of a lag time. All right, dude. Friday baseball.
Yeah.
Well, actually, before we even get to Friday baseball, I gotta just—I'm contractually obligated to talk very quickly about the crazy night that was last night. I know you weren't really around.
Did
too
I put
much.
That in your contract? I don't. Yeah, you're right. I did.
Well, I'm the
yeah,
owner, so I wrote my own contract. So last night was so nuts. Fernandez gets blown up. He doesn't even. He's chalk. He doesn't last four innings, or I think he went four innings. Bumgarner was cruising and then allows a grand slam in the fourth or fifth, and then comes out and hits his own home run in the bottom of the fourth or fifth to put himself in line for the win. Musgrove was sort of chalky on FanDuel. He gets totally crushed. They end up pitching, I think the Astros end up pitching like field players, like Tyler White pitched late in the game. Just a crazy, crazy night of baseball. But but here's the thing, this is my question for you. What we get after nights like this is, again, big money pitchers get blown up. Can't trust big. Oh, and Arrieta kind of wasn't that great early in the day. Can't trust big money pitchers. I'm never spending up for pitcher again. When you hear comments like that, what do you think?
Well, I mean, you can probably hear it in my tone what I think when I hear things like that. It makes me sigh at first. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's one of those things that we'll repeat 100 times throughout the course of a baseball season. But baseball is baseball. You know, like it's on any given night. Everybody gets blown up. It's why, like, if Madison Bumgarner could go out there and go seven innings, one run, eight Ks every single time, well, he would have the best season of all time, right? So he can't. So the reason, you know, Bumgarner's ERA is going to settle in, you know, the high twos or threes in a given most given seasons. This year, he's running a little bit good, so it's in the low twos, is because some days you're just going to give up some home runs, you know? Walks are not a particular issue for Bumgarner, though they're up this year. You know, he's having his highest K rate of all time. Like, it was a great play. And, you know, wind up working out on FanDuel just because everyone else had Fernandez. But, you know, say Fernandez was great and Bumgarner wasn't. Like, well, that wouldn't have changed anything. Good, consistent pitchers who occasionally have bad games. So,
and our FanDuel lineups were fine, actually, because Bumgarner ended up being better than Fernandez and Musgrove because he got the win. And he just was, you know, he had enough Ks to make it work. So with FanDuel, it was not really an issue. With DraftKings was an issue because we had Fernandez because of the price play, and then also had that Danny Salazar, who worse fears confirmed with him because he comes back in, he's a nice money line at a cheaper price, and he goes one inning and there's clearly something wrong with him. I watched the first inning of that game, and he was just doing a Rick Ankiel impersonation. Basically, the balls were all over the place, bouncing balls into the dirt, you know, up over the catcher's head. And then, obviously, the Indians said, an oopsie-daisies, take back, and he doesn't come out for the second inning. And I wouldn't...
Yeah, we talked about that on the podcast yesterday. That is something I think that people can get legitimately, you know, raise their eyebrows at situations like that. Yep. I mean, my take on injury guys always is why bother? And mm-hmm. Salazar showed us yesterday, you know, when the why bother comes true, right? And it happens enough to where... You know, we were questioning, well, should you lower his projection by 10%, by 15%, by more? You know, that's still something I think everyone is trying to explore. And especially since with injury data, it's all contextual. Like, it's not, you know, like we can look at a guy's BABIP or his K percentage or whatever, and that's an objective stat. But with the injury stuff, we're just reading reports and kind of parsing data. So given the gray area, especially for safe formats, I think it's wise to continue to stay away from situations like that.
Yeah, and there's a reason I didn't bring him up with the first group of people because that didn't strike that wasn't in the same conversation as the other guys like Bumgarner and Fernandez, because
exactly.
Like there was always big question marks, but it's more speaks to, you know, how do you maintain sanity over a long baseball season? It's difficult, right? Like, and especially in DFS, because DFS brings in this whole new hyper focus where you start to have confirmation bias that like all big money pitchers stink. I mean, obviously that's not true, right? Like there's like, if Bumgarner plays that game 100 times against the Mets, 75 games at least are much, much better than what he did last night. I mean, they threw out like a AAA affiliate team against him essentially, and it just didn't go well. He really just had one bad inning, and the one bad inning ended up being an epically bad inning, and it kind of turned the tide. But so it's just this whole thing, like DFS is, we hammer this home almost daily. I mean, for me in the chat room, almost hourly, where it's DFS baseball has this lens that gets really focused on these things, and you can fool yourself into thinking that it's the truth, and it's just not, and you need to play it out over the course of a 162-game season, and you need to just try to maintain your sanity, and you do that by not overextending your bankroll and trying to make good decisions with a good process, and that's what we're here to help with. So
exactly. So when you're listening to your local talk radio and the guys call in and they're absolutely furious because this or that guy sucks now and he always, you know, chokes in the big spots and whatever, and you think, well, that guy sounds dumb, like Daniel Murphy's having a great season, he's not a choker or whatever. For fantasy players, if you're complaining about things like Arrieta having one bad game or whatever, it's essentially the same exact thing, right? It's just that your home team changes every single day, you're having trouble keeping track or taking the longer view. It doesn't benefit anyone to zoom in on a one game basis, unless you're like a professional scout or something like that. But you're not, right? You're just a guy listening to our podcast. So it's, and we're not either, by the way. You know, we can't watch tape and figure out if a guy's delivery is slightly off or whatever. I mean, that's not for us to decide. For us to decide is finding out the long term trends and applying them on a daily basis. And so we'll keep doing that, and we'll keep winning at it. And you know, if you keep a steady hand, chances are good you'll win too.
Yeah, so. and that's all it is. Have a good process. Steady hand's the way to go. Let's talk about some Friday baseball. So, a couple interesting things going here today. We've got some pitchers that work up into that sort of upper tier of arm talent, I would say. Well, obviously, we have the Cubs going into Coors, which will be part of what we talk about when it comes to the bats. And I don't know if it's going to be the biggest part we talk about, but it'll be significant. But let's start with the pitchers. Mm-hmm. Couple of guys today that I find interesting, and actually, and especially when it comes to price and sort of opportunity, I won't even feed you here, because we didn't talk about this yet. Who do you see from, I would say there's a group of four guys sort of at the top of the list, and does anyone that stands out to you as being in the best situation or quote unquote the safest? And I know that word is a relative term, especially lately.
Come on, James, don't screw this up.
Well, I'm not sure I have a great answer, but.
Well, I'm looking at Johnny Cueto, I guess, to start. You know, heading back into San Francisco up against the Mets. The Mets have someone called Seth Lugo pitching for them today, which, you know, doesn't really impress me much. Quid is a guy who's a cut above the top tier aces, just because he lacks the truly elite K rate of, you know, Madison Bumgarner, Jose Fernandez, guys like that from yesterday. But what he's got going for him today are, well, first of all, just a dismal Mets lineup. That's again the same lineup that got four runs in one inning against Madison Bumgarner.
Right.
It's baseball; they're all professionals. Anything can happen, etc. But it really is quite a good spot. I mean, the Giants, you know, be heavily favored against both a bad Mets lineup and a bad pitcher. So Cueto seems to me to be, you know, if we're sorting for safety, he seems to be the guy that's a cut above the rest for me.
I think I'm generally with you. This day doesn't strike me as there's no top tier guy jumping to the tippy top of the mountain for me. Cueto probably rests up there, at least on FanDuel, where I'm not so concerned with the price at only 10-2. The spot's good enough for him. It's a little different for me on DraftKings. He's a little expensive. I think he's like over 11,000. And he's like 12,000. So for Cueto just simply does not strike out enough batters to be really worth it at 12,000. Almost against anybody. I guess there will be some spots if he was just a huge money line favorite or was facing, like, I don't know, the Padres from the beginning of the season, not necessarily right now. But So I think that's an overpay there. I think for me on FanDuel, I'd probably feel fine with Cueto. And then there's just a couple other guys that all fall into like a similar category. And that's, I mean, Hamels, Greinke, and Cole. They're kind of grouped together at this point, and I'm wondering if, and then we'll get over to the DraftKings pricing in a second. But those three other guys, because I was mentioning four guys at the top, and those were the four. Of those three other guys, is there a name that jumps out to you in that group?
Yeah, I think Cole Hamels. A lot of positive signs there. First of all, going from Texas to Tampa is just a great spot. Texas being one of the biggest hitters parks in the league and Tampa being one of the best pitchers parks in the league. The Rays also just have a sneaky high K rate against left-handed pitching this year, leading the league with a 25.3% number, which is simply atrocious. So it'd be hard for him to get a spot with higher upside for him. Right. You know, the Rays are relatively actually solid when it comes to what happens when they put the ball in play. So that's why you don't see like a tremendous, tremendously great line there. But yeah, he looks like a terrific play on DraftKings in particular, and FanDuel for that matter. Good play on both spots.
Yeah, that's where I get a little worried, is that the Rays will stack pretty much exclusively righties against him, I suspect. And his walk rate concerns me a little. It's up around 3.5 this year, which is a lot higher than his career. I mean, it's more than a walk per inning, or more than a walk per nine over his career averages.
Yeah, it's certainly he's something less than, you know, when he was contending for Cy Young awards and things. But
yeah, I think I'd probably risk it on Greinke, only because the Padres are, I mentioned the Padres from the beginning of the season. The Padres now, obviously, I've talked about this a lot lately. They're just a different team now than they were at the beginning of the year. So you cannot completely trust their season numbers when it comes to facing righty pitching, just because they have those middle of the order lefty bats now, and they'll put three lefties in the top five spots, I think, of the lineup. But Greinke gets a great park, is still a money line favorite here, low implied runs for San Diego. His Ks are down for him this year, which is a little bit of a concern. But like I said, all these guys just kind of they all really just fall into the same category for me on FanDuel. They're all really, really close. Now, on DraftKings, it's a different story. On DraftKings, you have Cueto, like I said, is too expensive. But then it's really interesting because they're essentially, I look at it as DraftKings daring you to play some of these guys. Gerrit Cole is only 7,500 on DraftKings.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It doesn't make – it's one of these, like, I don't know, it's a trap meme, whatever. like that's what kind of
– Nice. Dude, you're so relevant these days. You're
I'm
so just
really
like,
trying to be. Yeah.
I always try to turn to you when it comes to cultural relevance.
So Cole starts at minus 155, is up to minus 170. He isn't like an elite strikeout guy or anything like that, but there's just so much the good park. The Marlins are clearly a different team without Stanton, so their lineup gets buzzed. I don't know. That's one of the bigger downgrades you can get from losing, going from Stanton to like Ichiro, whoever they're putting in the lineup in his place, is one of the bigger downgrades you can get for a team. Cole is just fine. Like, he's a fine average pitcher this year, 7.5 Ks per nine, you know, lowish on the walks. He doesn't excite you, but I do like the matchup here and the money line and the prices you really can't get away from in a DraftKings.
Yeah, it's going to definitely be tough to get away from him. I think it's, you know, the reason the price is so low is because he is having essentially a career worst season. I mean, he's worse this year than he was his rookie year, you know.
Right.
And that can raise red flags, right? Like, oftentimes when we see a precipitous decline before it seems appropriate age-wise. I mean, Gerrit Cole's only 25 years old. Like,
that's crazy.
A lot of pitchers come up to the majors when they're 25. So he's it's very, very strange that his K rate would dip and his walk rate would go up. It does raise sort of that injury red flag for me. That said, you can have a red flag and still be a great play at 7,500 on DraftKings. So,
and Greinke is only 8,800. And so he's the other one where you're, okay, well, if I can get two guys in that like six total 16K range and with that are both money line favorites in good parks who are fine, like they're average, I would call them just like slightly above average pitchers, both of them at this point. They're, you know, which is a huge downgrade for both what they probably the expectation on them was. But if I can get those two guys at 16,000 total, with the contextual pieces in place, I think I'm just happy to do it and load up on bats. And on a day where the Cubs are going into Coors, I think that's probably going to be, I'd be surprised if I pivoted off that for DraftKings outside of some other news coming in.
Now, do you feel a little bit like you're trying to be like the American Ninja Warrior, like you're going on the spinning thing over the hot coals, and then you try to walk the tightrope over the shark's mouths underneath, but playing two pretty unsafe guys at your pitcher slot.
That was a really, really long path for that analogy. I felt like I was like, I was going to ask.
It was a great, buddy, I thought we were doing the cultural relevance thing, you know, just showing how hip we are up on the thing. So I saw an episode of the American Ninja Warrior when I was on vacation last month, and I wanted to share it with you. So,
I'm happy to share. It was a long way around.
Do you
around.
Feel like is it risky to play two very risky guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. But the thing is.
Yeah, thanks. That's all I was asking.
It is, but it's equally risky to pay $12,000 for Cueto. It's just risky in a different way, right?
So, fine. I don't think you have to pay $12,000 for Cueto, but
$11,000 for Hamels.
Is it just as risky to pay Hamels for $11,000?
Yes.
I'm not sure. I think that a lot of people are going to wind up going in the direction of choosing a safe guy and then a value play.
See, I don't see those guys as safe at those prices, though. Maybe that's where we're having a disconnect. I don't think that those prices for them are and look, we're using this word safe.
There's no such thing in baseball.
Right. I'm not sure we have a great definition for safe in baseball yet. So we're using it as, I think what we're saying is, you know, most likely to happen over the course of, you know, 100 or 1,000 games, who's the most likely to, you know, pitch the best game of this group. And
Sure, and the fact of the matter is when you have a 7.5 K rate, you are putting yourself in a position to run bad on batting average on balls in play.
Who are you referring to?
You know, both Greinke and Cole.
Right.
They're both, you know, just,
I mean,
we talk
to
about,
be,
well,
to
this
be fair,
like,
to be fair, Cueto has an 8.1 K to 9. It's not like he's a 10 K per 9. Like, he's half a strikeout more per 9 than those two guys. Now, the walks are a lot less, for sure. But it's not like Cueto is like some big strikeout guy. Like, he's only a tick above the other group.
You can't hand wave away the walks, though. 1.78 walks, it's like half of what these other guys are doing in some cases. Like, Cueto is unquestionably a more known commodity in terms of what we can get from Finn, and it's not half. That was,
but he just costs 40% more, though.
And you're not playing Cueto today, so don't get me wrong. He's not the guy I'm going with necessarily. I just think that, so why did you bring up Cueto? I didn't say you play Cueto. I was looking at Hamels. I think Hamels is a guy just where the K rate is at the full, you know, 9 per 9, essentially, that just strikes me as just a much better play. I don't know. I get that, you know, what happens is you can fit in a lot of value bats, but it's just a question of, are you happy increasing the standard deviation around, because hitters are just going to have a higher standard deviation than pitchers simply because the results are so much more variable. Like, they can go 0 for whatever and score 0 points very, very frequently, where pitchers just don't. I mean, some do. Obviously, you're going to have bad starts from time to time, but yeah. I don't know. I just want to throw it out there so people don't just put these two inexpensive guys in their cash game lineups and then feel confused when one or both of them has a subpar start.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe I was overplaying the fact that I felt awesome about it. I don't necessarily. Like, I don't, like, it didn't feel, for me, it's like price and opportunity. And I try to just maybe look past some of the other things because I feel like our system parses out most of the things along the edges, you know? So,
it does in terms of total average outcome. And I think that if your goal, if you were going to play this 1,000, like run a simulation and play this 1,000 times, I would just play the system. And so, you know, that's, I think, a worthwhile approach. I just think for a lot of players who don't play every single night or don't play every single slate, and they're looking for, like we talk, maintain your sanity. Well, one thing might be giving up, you know, shavings of expectation for more reliability. So
yeah, that makes sense to me. I think that's an interesting thing. And actually, you brought up something before about having standard deviation. One thing I'm actually going to run it when we get off this podcast is just what the standard deviations on some of the pitchers are on FanDuel, because how much the win counts, like the win counts for those 12 points.
Sure.
So I'm wondering if that deviation is even more skewed over there because they have this one outcome that's sort of like almost like a home run, where, you know, you kind of just need to have it to be able to get it. It's a little different.
To be in the top lineup, sure. Speaking of the win, a guy we talked about, you know, before the podcast was Rick Porcello. Mm-hmm. Are you considering him at all today?
No. For that reason, because he looks good. I mean, but this is something we're talking about.
Not even on FanDuel. I bet he's going to be a reasonable play on FanDuel, given that he's cheaper than Cueto, Greinke, or Hamels.
Yeah, just terrible matchup with Detroit, and he strikes. I mean, I can see why other people would play him. I will not. He's just hit a lot. So much of his value, especially recently, has been wrapped up in that win. Like, he has 1, 2. my God, this goes all the way down. Like, he has like 8 wins in his last 9 games, and that just doesn't strike me as sustainable at all. And his peripherals are fine. The Detroit is not a good matchup. He's a little too expensive. I don't know. Would you think he's safer than these other guys?
No. Okay, good. I was doing the thing that people do in broadcast sometime where they like ask a question that they seem like they know the answer to, but you know, I was just playing it kind of cool. So
I think we disagreed enough on this. I was wondering if you were baiting me more on the disagree, so we could just disagree more on this podcast.
No, well, Porcello is actually, I did look really long and hard at him because there's a lot to not like. Obviously, like, people will look at him and say, 16 wins, like, what a run hot loser, you know?
Right.
But it does help that he plays on one of the best hitting teams, right? Like, that is going to make you get more wins, generally speaking. It also helps that he pitches late in the games. You know, Porcello has always been a guy whose strategy is to pitch to contact more than to pitch to the strikeout. You know, even from when he was called up, Doug, when we owned him on our dynasty team when he was 17 years old.
We did own him on our dynasty team when he was in high school, which is one of our huge claims to fame. That is a thing that I'm not sure it will fit on my tombstone, but like, because there's going to be a lot of other cool stuff on there. But when it comes down to it, like, right on the bottom in the small print might just say, owned Rick Porcello on his, you know, 15-team dynasty unlimited keeper league when he was 17 years old and in high school.
Yeah, I think that's right. So Porcello, he does go deep into games. Innings pitched 7, 8, 8, 9 in his last 4 starts. You just don't really see that from a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. And so you start to look at him as a guy who's going to be more likely to get a win in a given day than a guy like Gerrit Cole, who's going to really struggle to go deep into games due to the control issues. So there's that, right? Another thing in Porcello's favor is last season he ran really, sort of bad on in a couple of key areas, BABIP and home run to fly ball ratio. In particular, he's a guy with a pretty established home run to fly ball ratio that's more in line with what he's doing this season. So you start to look and you think, well, maybe he's not that lucky. Maybe he's just kind of good. But the thing with Porcello, the fly in the ointment, I think, is that the BABIP number really is much lower than it has been historically for him. He's 40 points under his established norms for his career. And I don't think, he's changed a little bit as a pitcher. He generates fewer ground balls than he used to, but I just don't think he's going to, I don't think he's going to be a guy who's going to pay ace level production, because to your point, so much of that value is tied, or so much of his fantasy points per game is tied up in the win. And we've seen plenty of good pitchers on good hitting teams who don't, like, he's on pace for what, like 23 wins or something, like, he's,
right.
Chances are good he doesn't finish the season.
Well, this is the danger of running down a game log and assuming that the guy's super, quote, safe, right? So, like, if you run down Porcello's game log, you're like, this dude's a lock for 40 points. My God, 40 FanDuel points.
Every day.
Every single day. Just does it every single time. But, I don't know, when you just get that 12 wins every time, or skip 12 points for the win every time, it's just unsafe. One more guy I wanted to bring up, we spent a lot of time on pitching today, is his peripherals fall somewhat in the same range-ish as, like, the Gerrit Coles and Zach Greinke's of the world. Actually, Greinke, I just looked, has a much lower walk rate than I thought, so I'm actually even more confident with him on DraftKings. But is Tanner Roark. Tanner Roark is striking out, a little more than 7 per 9. That's not great. Walks, 2.5. His xFIP's right in that average range, like right around the high 3s, but he's getting an Atlanta team where he's a pretty heavy money line favorite for this day, -150, and I have Atlanta at 3.37 implied runs. Is Roark a guy that like fits into that sort of category of those guys that we were mentioning before, where good spot, not elite stuff, but maybe you can take a shot on him?
On FanDuel or DraftKings? Because on DraftKings, he's 10,600. I'm never going to consider him at those prices.
$8,700 on FanDuel. Lower, he's cheaper than the four guys we mentioned before.
Yeah, he probably should be. There's just not upside there, given the lower K rate. So I'm not excited personally. I think that at the end of the day, I would be shocked if he was the GPP winning lineup. His K rate also buoyed, by the way, by that one insane 15K start that he had, where they left him in there for 120 pitches in April.
Dusty Baker, happens when you have Dusty Baker as your manager. Yeah.
Since then, he hasn't. 7 is his most. He hasn't struck out 7 batters since June. So I'm I'm not interested.
Dusty Baker's never seen a young pitcher that he didn't want to just ruin. like, and preferably early in the season just to get him out of his hair or whatever. But
maybe that's it. I don't know.
Rourke more for me on the question for him on FanDuel is just that if he's coming in just a little cheaper in a good spot and he has similar peripherals and then maybe it's a guy you can consider for a cash game because it's going to give you just that extra couple $100 to get some Coors bats in. And I don't mind it from that perspective, but like you mentioned it, like there's just not a ton of upside for him. Let's go.
How about just worth pointing out too, and you know, not necessarily endorsing this, but Seth Lugo on the spot start today is absurdly cheap. Like 3,000 on FanDuel means like you play him, and then you just, as you're scrolling through, you just click the most expensive guy at every position and just hope for the best, you know? So I don't think he's eligible on DraftKings. Oh, I guess he is. Yeah, 4,100 on DraftKings too. So, you know, not saying, but I'm just saying that could be an interesting thing.
These are the hardest guys for us to make projections on because guys that basically get pulled out of the bullpen to make a spot start, you just don't know. It's impossible sometimes to know what the team's plan for them is in terms of what pitch count is. So
yeah, they could just be going in bullpen.
Right. So if he's never thrown more than 40 pitches or something like that, and now all of a
sudden started 14 games in AAA this year, but and he was a starter before that.
Right. But in his last one, two, since he's been called up, which is you know coming on a month now, he doesn't have a game more than 40 pitches, right?
Yeah, fair enough. It's a throwaway thing, but just a guy to if you want to have some fun with a $2 lineup or whatever.
I'll be honest with you, though, 65 pitches might get it done at 3,000 if he can.
That's
run,
all I'm saying.
If he can run hot,
it's not hard to like. Is he a dog to score 15 fantasy points? I'm not sure. Like that, he doesn't need many. He's scoring 10 points per inning. just
as a note,
when he's getting in there,
so. I had him at like 4.5 innings pitched, somewhere in that range, projected wise. So, which I think I just want to kind of keep it. I wanted to keep it a little on the lower end because I just have no idea. And in cases like that, why bother shooting the moon?
That's correct. But you can't play him in a cash game. Just an interesting oddity.
Well, but it's funny because if I took him to like 5 innings, he was getting really darn close to the optimal lineups on FanDuel. Just because of the game in Coors, which we're going to move over to now. We mentioned before we have a game in Coors. The Cubs going to Coors, which when I first looked at it last night, I was like, oh, man, Cubs and Coors versus a lefty. This is – what are their prices going to be and how much of them can I get in the lineups? But then I looked at the money line and the run line on this. And I just don't know what's going on. So they come in. It starts at 11 over-under with them at minus 155. It stays, but the run line goes down. The over-under goes down to 10.5. Does this strike you as weird? They're facing Tyler Anderson. It's the Cubs. It's Coors, and I have them for like 5 points based on the run line and the money line. I have them at like 5.7 something runs. Does that seem weird to you?
It does. I tried to look at this and tried to figure out what was going on. You know, Cubs better against left-handed pitching this year. Tyler Anderson. I mean, yeah, he's off to a good start. I mean, for 12 starts. You know, being a pitcher on Colorado and having a 3.4 ERA, 3.6 xFIP, that's tremendous. I mean, ground ball pitcher, you know, I get it. But that, like, I wonder what a fair run line would be if Johnny Cueto was pitching against the Cubs in there. And I feel like it's, you know, what we don't see, like, this is on the low end of totals for Coors games.
Yes.
And that just seems insane to me. I just don't get it at all.
So a couple things that could be coming into play here. One, it could be there is a wind blowing in. There is a wind blowing in Coors, and I'm saying this, I'm going to look it up what it is. That could be part of it. It would strike me as needing to be a significant in blown wind to be able to affect it. And it is 16 miles an hour in. So that's a pretty heavy gust moving in. There is some chance of rain also could be throwing things off. I know sometimes run lines will go down a little bit when weather's a factor because I think Vegas gets a little concerned that the full game doesn't get in. But I don't know. Do you think those are the reasons, or is there something else we're missing, or is just something wrong here?
Well, part of the total is going to be Kyle Hendricks. I think, you know, it's possible that Vegas is looking at him as a guy who is going to continue. You know, he's now got 2 out of 3 seasons where he's dramatically outperformed his xFIP. So, you know, maybe they're looking at him as a guy who's dragging that line down overall.
And, yeah, but that doesn't affect the Cubs' bats.
I know it doesn't. It doesn't affect the Cubs' implied total, but I'm just saying, speaking of the 10.5 number.
Yeah.
As for the Cubs themselves, I mean, it just kind of seems wrong to me. I mean, maybe they have information that someone's going to sit or, you know, that we just don't have right now. But I can't puzzle it out. It seems low. And all that being said, those guys are still showing up in our lineups.
Oh, yeah.
So I, you know, I'm not going to lose sleep over it or anything. But yeah, it is strange. But nonetheless, if you think today's going to be a day people stay away because they think that that game's going to be lower scoring than usual, it's a game I would be interested in.
Now, I still see people loading up. And like I said, the weather could be an issue. It's early on in the day now. The weather looks like thunderstormy and kind of carrying throughout. But I don't judge my weather decisions at 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern. More just wait for an expert to weigh in. But really, if you can get what we're looking for here on both sites, probably a little bit more on FanDuel because you might be paying a little more overall for pitching, is who are the guys you're going to get in there. And obviously, every Cub bat is in play for me here. Fowler's better against lefties. Zobrist's get better against lefties. Bryant, I think you said he's reverse platoon.
He's close, and I think he's gone back and forth. But yeah, he's excellent against righties. He can hit lefties.
They're going to run a train right down there. Russell, righty. Baez, righty. Contreras, I think, is a righty. He might be a switch hitter, but he definitely hits at least from the right side of the plate. That is an impossible lineup to get through. And
Bryant better against lefties this year.
And it's doubly impossible in Coors. And so as many of those guys as you can get in, even with this fishy line, I think I'm still totally fine with. After the Cubs, let's go through maybe just a couple other possible teams. Is there a team that jumps out to you? One or two teams that we can maybe play a few more guys with, get a little cost savings on that are in decent spots?
Sure. I like the Dodgers against Tim Adelman today in Cincinnati. Dodgers, another team heading from their lousy home park to an excellent away park. Implied run total is quite high for them as well. And Tim Adelman's a guy who, you know, kind of just not someone who you're going to ever be concerned about. Vegas isn't concerned either, so I think that's a tremendous spot. I also liked just looking at almost both sides of the Astros-Orioles game, but the Astros, to me, I like a little bit better just because, well, and I shouldn't say maybe not the Astros as a whole, but some of those right-handed bats at the top of the lineup could do some significant damage against Wade Miley. Miley's a guy who's prone to leaving the ball up in the zone and giving up big innings. So, you know, while the Astros is possibly a little bit of a top heavy lineup, doesn't matter for our purposes because we're only going to play the good guys anyway. So they're another team I like, although you can make a case for Baltimore on the other side of that as well.
Right. So back to the Dodgers real quick. I'm totally with you. I love the Dodgers today. And from our system's perspective, the Dodgers we have them at 5.31 implied runs right now and the Cubs at 6, right? Okay. So obviously less. Maybe a little more than 10% less. But, so 10% less implied runs for like 30% less cost. Especially around the middle of the lineup with guys like Gonzalez and Reddick, Utley, even Seager is still coming cheaper than most guys. And this is one of those opportunities where Great American Ballpark is not Coors, but man, it's not too far away in terms of just park factor and power. It's close enough that you're going to see elevated run lines. And if you're looking for that is definitely, for me, the team to save on. I know Reddick. I know people were going nuts because Reddick is a guy that shows up in our system a lot. Chatters do not want to see Reddick in the lineups anymore. I get it from the game log perspective. I don't get it from any other perspective. But he's a guy that's come over to the Dodgers. He's been horrible since he got traded. Because OPS is somewhere in the 300 range, maybe less.
I feel like that's overstating things a little bit, right? I mean, his fantasy points in the last 5 games, 15, 12, 6, 9, 0.
I'm just trusting
the beast. We've seen much longer stretches than that, right?
Oh, so you're saying that's not even as bad as some people. Oh, yeah, what's going on here? I didn't even look at the game log. I'm just judging by what people are asking us. This guy, he's run so bad on BABIP since he came over, and that's really just the only number. Everything else is the same with him. Again, just to the old broken record, playing again, I just have a button. This is baseball. Guys go through bad stretches. He's really cheap in a great park against a bad pitcher. The Dodgers are, I think, the team to stack, even in cash games as well, just because of the price and the spot that they're in.
I love him in all formats.
And the other team I like, you mentioned Baltimore and Houston. I'm on board with those. Maybe more as one-offs, though. There's always stacking. There's stacking cases to be made with just about every team.
I think with Houston, the top heaviness of their lineup does make them a very intriguing stack thing, and a case where you can't just look and say, well, Baltimore's slightly favored. I think you can grab the right-handed bats at the top of their lineup and feel pretty comfortable.
And the other team that sort of falls into this range of value for me is the Cardinals.
Yep. I knew they would, buddy. When I looked at this, I knew you were going to go Cardinals on me.
You know me so well, buddy. I guess you just know. Yeah. We just know the system so well. So the Cardinals get Adam Morgan. Adam Morgan has been pretty bad since he's had major league time. The Cardinals are a weird team because they're like a top-heavy team as well in that, you know, down at the bottom of the lineup, there's not a ton that scares you. But if they hit a guy like Pham leadoff today against the lefty, Pham is a great cost savings guy, especially on FanDuel where he's only 2,400. If you need to plug and play like a Johnny Peralta in there, Stephen Piscotty's been great against lefties for his career. So there's a couple interesting Cardinals bats that I don't know if I'm going to expressly stack this team, but I like the way I get some savings on them. Just kind of across the board, kind of plug and play, you know, here and there, just to fill out a lineup.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's also worth noting, you know, when we talk about teams with good matchups or teams in good spots, those are teams also to particularly eyeball for good value plays to pop up. So, like, you know, Tommy Pham's an example of him, obviously, where and it was Garcia earlier this season, where, you know, teams in a good spot, generally underpriced, and then all of a sudden a value play is introduced into a lineup like that, and that's when you can really start filling out those cheap spots in your lineup so you can pay up in other spots. Maybe not as relevant today with no real top-tier expensive pitching on FanDuel, but definitely what we're keeping an eye on.
Yeah, Jed Jorko, if he could show up in the top of the lineup somewhere, he's like, is another guy like that. Final guy, because this is DFSR, and we talk about this guy every single day for the rest of the baseball season. Bryce Harper, 3,900 on FanDuel, and I know he's facing Tehran, but is this a spot where it's Bryce Harper at 3,900 and you're just getting a superstar? I know the system's going to think that, but is this something that, are you going to X him out or are you going to play him at that price?
I mean, buddy, you know I'm not going to ex Bryce Harper.
Oh, I'm not
Bryce
either.
Harper, it's funny, like, you know, people, I feel like, had some questions about this even yesterday, and goes out there and just gets his 15.4 points. Like, that's would make him, again, the top guy projected in the system today if we knew we could pencil him in for that. And while you can't against Tehran, it's still 3,900 isn't the wrong price.
Totally.
That is not an efficient market price on Bryce Harper. So expect to see us and all, you know, good players playing him today.
Yep. And we lived through the Bryce Harper doldrums and came out the other side clean, like Andy Dufresne. But and this is, again, like, back to it. This is baseball. This is what happens. You need to play inefficient prices when they present themselves. This is just another example. I don't see the system getting away from him, at least on FanDuel. He's too expensive on DraftKings, who has priced him correctly. So FanDuel just can't seem to do that. All right, buddy. We spent a lot of time. We spent some time arguing. We spent some time making up. We spent some time talking about bats. And I think that's going to be it for us today, right?
Yeah, man. It's a great American novel in one podcast.
You did it again. We said at the top of the show that we're pretty sure NFL is going to be released at least today, and if not, within the next, I would say, 48 hours or so. So we're really, really excited about what we're going to offer there. Much more robust set of tools than we've ever offered for any other sport. Very, very pumped about that.
Yeah, we'll dive in next week and give you a deeper look into that, and hopefully you can tolerate that on a baseball podcast, but it should be a good time.
I don't know. We're getting that NFL podcast network set up today, so we might be switching it over. That's it for us. DFSR.com, DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. For long, head over, grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good, good, good friends over at LineupLab.com, and you can one-touch calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Buddy, enjoy your weekend.
You too, man.